Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Just
quieting
down, baby.
Per capita export value.
Libraries. Minister, are you embarrassed by your behavior today?
There's a lot of bleeding hearts around.
Do you have the fortitude or the gonads to stand up and come across here and say that to me, you son of a bitch?
Just watch me.
He certainly went too far, Mr. Speaker, when I saw him stick his tongue out.
Contemptuous. Disregard.
More than a slab of bacon talking here.
The disappointment you also feel is my responsibility.
I lost my temper.
What is the nature of your thoughts?
The word was F-A-R-T.
Can we do it together? Like at the same time in sync?
Okay. Okay. In the band NSYNC. Ready?
Three, two, one. That wasn't even in sync. What are we saying?
Welcome to
Canadian Politics is Boring. Oh, yeah, what after that?
Okay.
I'm
ready.
And then we'll split and you'll say, I'm Reese, and I'll say, I'm Jesse.
Yeah, like that.
And then we'll laugh for 5 minutes.
Okay. Ready?
Okay.
One, two, three.
Welcome to Canadian politics. No, man, have you never done this before?
I'm Reese. This is just going to go in. This is fine. I'm not good at working with others. You know this.
I know. Yeah, I do know that. Yeah.
Just let me do my thing. Hi, welcome. This is Jesse.
I'm Jesse.
Jesse.
I'm eating Oreos and drinking coffee.
Nice. I've got a can of, what flavor is that? That's the French version. Blackberry Bubbly or...
Bublé?
Bublé, yes.
Blackberry Bublé.
And it's good. And I'm sat on a hard stool and it hurts my ass. So, yeah, all good. In Reese world.
Now I'm picturing your ass. Thank you. Thank you for that. Imagery. I've always wanted...
Now, me and Jesse had a conversation a while back about how we weren't necessarily going to do an episode about what's going on in Ukraine, which is awful and sad and terrible. And Jesse's instinct is right on this because we want to entertain and escape because it's not our job to be news, if you know
what
I mean.
That's right. Yeah. We like at the end of the day, when you're done with all of the horrifying news of the world and you want to escape with some comedy, your comedy shows shouldn't also be reporting the news. Like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. But then also at the same time, I was like, do you know what though? I think we should talk about about the Canadian-Ukrainian relationship and history, but without, but look, let's look at a historical thing. So I've got a cool story related to Canada and its relationship to Ukraine. There's got nothing to do with everything that's going on, but we'll hopefully just be interested and give extra context about why Canada has a strong relationship with Ukraine.
And because it's such a sensitive topic, we can't have any comedy in this at all. If I think of a joke, I will swallow it down deep into the dark pit of my what used to be my soul.
What's about remains of your soul?
Yeah.
The parking space of where a soul once was.
So if you hear me giggling for no reason at all, it's because I thought of something funny, but I know I can't say anything.
And also, Jesse, I don't know if I told you this, one of our listeners is going to Ukraine to fight.
What?
They messed
an Oreo. Sorry.
I know. What? See, this is why we're not news. So one of our most dedicated listeners who we met in person at our live show is a veteran and also has strong family ties and is a Ukrainian Canadian. And they messaged me saying, I'm not going to give their name away because for safety reasons, but they're on their way there to fight right now. And
holy shit.
So I was like, I really want to do something because just this is like an episode tailored.
You said
to that
we
listener.
Met them. We met them at our live show. Were they in our live show? There were like two other people in our live show.
No, they figured that shit out. They were in the crowd. They were in the audience.
So. Okay, of we 10 met, people.
We,
yeah.
we did talk to them before as well. So they were 10% of our audience. So this episode is dedicated to the safety and safe return of that listener.
Yeah. Well, yes, please, safe returns.
Safe returns. So anyway.
All right. Educate me in a non-funny, non-serious way about a topic that is not current at all.
Okay. So this episode is called The OG Canadian Ukrainians.
All right.
I don't know if you know this.
Were they a rap band in the 90s?
No. This is basically like I can't stop it. It's kind of, it's the first Ukrainians to settle in Canada. This story is pretty cool.
All right.
Ukrainian Canadians are the 11th largest ethnic group in Canada and the third largest Ukrainian population behind the Ukraine and Russia lives in Canada.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's fucking awesome. I did not know that.
So there's slightly more than 110,000 people reported themselves as Ukrainian, speaking Ukrainian in Canada, and half of all those live in the prairies. So they kind of settled the prairies mainly.
Holy shit. Half. Are you saying that half of the prairie population is Ukrainian?
No, half of the people who speak Ukrainian are in the prairies.
Oh, that's a totally different statistic. Mine was much more impressive.
No, exactly. Yours was. It's shame is not real, but if it was real. So.
Welcome to Jesse's made up statistics.
Exactly. Cool. So, like, there's no, like, obviously they didn't keep records before they colonized North America. They didn't keep records of who was coming and going. So they think that they might have been Ukrainian fur traders in Canada before these people. But these were the official first people with this paperwork to prove that they came and settled Canada.
Cool.
One of them was called, I butcher French. I've got no frame of reference as to what my pronunciation of Ukrainian is like. So Ivan Palupu and Wazel Eliniak. Palupu. P-Y.
Palupu and Wazel?
Yeah. P-Y-L-Y-P-I-W. Well, how would you pronounce that?
I'd have to write that down.
Palupu.
Hold on. Hold on. I'm going to get a notepad. Okay. Tell me again.
P-Y.
P-Y.
L-Y.
L-Y.
P-I-W.
W. Palupu. I don't. Palupu and Wazel.
Palupu and Eleniak.
Wazel Eleniak?
I think it's Wazel Eleniak and Ivan Palupu.
We're going straight to fucking hell. This is horrible.
Go on, speak. if you know how to pronounce these names, go on, speak pipe and just leave them for us.
And tell them how horrible we are as human beings.
We'll drop it in the next episode and compare it to how badly we got it wrong. So
Speakpipe.com/Canadian Politics is boring. Or just click the little link that Reese is going to leave in the show notes, isn't he?
Yes. So in the 19th century, Ukraine was split between two empires. So Russia, the Russian Empire had 80% of Ukraine, and the rest was in the Austro-Hungarian Empire. I don't know if you know much about the Austro-Hungarian Empire.
So much.
You love it.
You know damn well I don't.
I know, exactly.
No, don't know anything. Not that I don't love it.
You so
know
we talked about before. Remember we talked about the Habsburg chin?
That rings a bell.
That was the royal family that ran or was in charge of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. And
have we done 200 episodes yet?
No, I think we're about like 16 episodes away, something like that. When we have 200 episodes, we should have a party.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
Yeah. Get a tattoo. Sorry. Anyway.
Totally.
So at the time,
thanks, no.
and also it'd been pretty rough. So like in the 1800s, serfdom was still a thing in a lot of until the 1848.
Describe again to our listeners who might not know what serfdom is. I know what serfdom is, as does everyone who is smart and things. But just to the uneducated listener, why don't you just refresh their memories.
You know exactly what serfdom is.
Totally. Yeah. So but I thought I'd let you do the honors of describing it.
Yeah. So you are bound to a plot of land by your family. So essentially, if you're born into a family, you're like, hey, this acre of land is why you were born and what your family's supposed to do is plant potatoes and work there. And it's just kind of like, it was like in a medieval form of kind of like slavery. It's not exactly the same thing, but you didn't have a lot of freedom and it was forced labor and you weren't allowed to leave and you were run by a lord. The lord was in charge of everything.
That is a fascinating piece of information that I already knew.
Yeah, you did know that.
So anyway.
So that only kind of ended in the Austrian-Hungarian part in 1848 and then the Russian part that ended in 1861. But it was still...
Wow.
Ukrainians, the average Ukrainian suffered a lot of oppression in so many different ways. So Ivan and Wazel were desperate for a new life. And in 1891, they decided to go to Canada, this new place that they'd heard a lot about.
Who are these guys again? The Pilipal and Wazel?
No, Wazel and Ivan.
Wazel and Ivan, you're not going to say his last name anymore?
I'm just going to say Wazel and Ivan just to stop embarrassing myself. So
no, that's fair. Yeah. I can't really blame
so me. They were from Western Ukraine.
Why were they moving to Canada?
Well, like I just said.
Just to escape serfdom.
Well, the serfdom had ended, but it was still, you still didn't instantly just get like
you see how much I'm interested in history and how much I'm paying attention?
This is... You are paying attention, even though you're kind of not, because I just said...
Yeah, I know, right? That's my point.
So he wasn't a serf. He was Ivan was a peasant logging contractor. And, you know, he'd had some hard times and because he'd heard about... He had some German neighbors and they'd said, hey, there's a load of free land in Canada. Obviously, there were indigenous people and First Nations communities already here, but at that time they were like, hey, look at all this wide open space, nobody is here. So he set off with his friends in the fall of 1891, and one of his two friends,
which one was this, Ivan or Wazel?
This was a third one called Tyt Zinniak. T-Y-T is his first name and then Zinniak is his last name, Z-I-N-I-A-K.
Okay, I'm not gonna lie, these guys have like fucking cool names, man.
I know I'm not like massively familiar with Ukrainian names, but they're cool. It's very like, it's, if you want a distinctive name, have a Ukrainian name is awesome.
Tyt Wazel and Platpopol.
No, like, his name was Ivan.
Ivan, right. Sorry.
Ivan Wazel and Tyt.
Ivan and his band name could be Ivan and the Tyt Wazels.
Maybe. Right? I'm going to get so much hate mail from you. For you, not from you. I get lots of hate mail from you anyway. But
yeah. Every morning, yeah, wake up, crack my knuckles, time to send Reese a fucking piece of horrible hate mail.
Texts me images too,
specifically like racist to Welsh people.
Yeah, he texts me images of decomposing animals he finds and just is horrible.
Because I know how much you love them.
Yeah. Anyway, Tyt was turned back at the German-Austrian border. He wasn't allowed to pass through, but Ivan and Wazel managed to get travel to Halifax, Nova Scotia, and then on to Winnipeg, Manitoba. And they met up with some German loggers, and they just went on like a little tour. They went up to the Northwest Territories. They went to Calgary, and they were like they were kind of just blown away by like the wide open space. There was like the oppression. It was, you were kind of so much freer there, because obviously you have this like very like structured society with certain kind of, depending on what you were born into, that was your place and you couldn't really rise above that. Canada was very different. There were lots of people from around the world settling, you know, huge tracts of land. So
what year was this again? Sorry.
This was 1891.
Okay.
Yeah. So they were like, they were like, yeah, this is a viable option. So Wazzel couldn't afford to go back and stay there to work for the winter.
Couldn't go back to the Ukraine, you're right.
Couldn't go back to the, he didn't have money. So he was like, right, hey, I'll just stay here and work, you know, because.
Where did he settle? He toured all of Canada. Where did
they ended up in Manitoba.
Okay. All so, right. I mean, we love Manitoba. Manitobians, you know we love you. But
Manitoba Knights.
Manitoba Knights. Yeah. If you're coming to Canada for the first time, first off, you stop over in Nova Scotia, Halifax, the party fucking drunk central of Canada. And off you have to go through Ontario, right? With all the crazy fucking parties going on in Ontario. You get a tour up to Northwest Territories. Nope, too cold for me. Fuck you. You go back down. Ah, Manitoba. Dry. Barren. Stretches on forever. Perfect. That's where you decide to stay? Really? All right.
Yeah, but I imagine though, like that, the prairies resembles in terms of weather and geography, that part of Europe, like that whole kind of area. So I imagine it was kind of like felt like home.
I'm going to Google this. Is Manitoba
like
Ukraine?
But it's, you know, there's a lot of
top Google answer. No. No, I don't know. There's nothing here.
let's compare it. So Ukraine is a breadbasket, is where a lot of wheat is grown, and so is the prairies. There's a lot of similarities in terms of the kind of things you can grow there and how the land is.
All right.
That's, how come I know your country better than you?
I think we've been over this. Yeah.
So, but then something crazy happens.
Because you do 5 minutes of research before we start recording. That's why. Don't talk yourself up like you're some kind of fucking historian. Okay, we all know better. Seriously.
I know. Everyone's got Wikipedia. So Ivan headed back to get their families to come back and go, hey everyone, just so you know, I've been over and I'm just coming back now, and you know, Wazzel's still over there, he's working, but it's brilliant, you all need to come out. So he got back to his family in Galicia, I think, or Galicia, which is the part of Ukraine where he was from, in Western Ukraine, in 1892 for his family. And he was telling everyone about this vast kind of land where it was unsettled in the sense of farmsteads, and people were either excited or very skeptical. They thought, some people were like, oh my God, this doesn't sound real. Like, this is like freedom. And other people were like, I don't believe you.
I like how you changed the tone of voice for the naysayers.
Yeah, skeptics sound like that to me. Bah, 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 bah. Stop having dreams. Stop having dreams, Reese. Stop having dreams. Anyway, this isn't about me.
Your head, is it?
Yeah. Yes. This isn't about me.
He says, while slowly crying to himself in the dark.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to BOLL and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Corner of his room.
So, and like, you got to understand like how people were living at the time. So they were, there was a lot of small, like, self-sufficient villages. Over 90% of people were illiterate.
Is this in the Ukraine or Manitoba?
In the Ukraine. Ukraine then, Manitoba now. Oh, I'm joking.
Right,
I'm
yeah.
Joking. You're all right, Manitoba. I'm joking. So the cities and towns of kind of like, the cities and towns were largely dominated by foreign people who like foreigners.
We're gonna, if you're not careful, Reese, we're gonna like seriously offend our 8 Manitoba listeners. Honestly.
I know. I'm only joking. It's fine.
Who are they? There's John. There's Sarah.
Manitoba Sally.
Don't ask us how she got that name. You don't want to know.
But so essentially, like, you can understand why people wouldn't believe him, because like they hadn't, a lot of them didn't read. They like, their world was quite small because they'd never been allowed to go far or had the opportunity to go far.
Right. Conform to the environment you're presented with. Basically.
Exactly. So, yeah. And also there was like this defined class structure where Russians ran the government mainly. And then industrialized areas where a lot of Russian workers settled in factories and mines. So a lot of the people, the Ukrainians, were still working the land. The landowners were typically Polish. And then a lot of the tradesmen and craftsmen and the skilled people were Germans who had migrated there. So the Ukrainians were like a kind of an exploited class at the bottom of the social ladder as well. So the idea of like, you can go to Canada and you'll be treated like a normal, equal person. You can understand why people thought that was too good to be true.
Yes.
So what happened was there was a rumor as well. Then somebody started that Ivan was telling people all of this stuff because they thought he was getting a commission from a steamship company, and everyone was accusing him of being a con man. Then going, no, you just want us to pay money to go on a ship, and there's going to be nothing there, and it's
oh my god, wait, this is the 1800s version of fake news.
It is, yeah. They're like, fake news. There's no Canada. It's not real. It's just America, and then you fall into ice.
Right.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing, though. They had people arguing over what was real or not.
Yeah, exactly. And then, so what happened then? He was arrested.
Oh my God. Okay.
And he was charged with sedition and inciting people to emigrate.
What is sedition?
What is sedition? Oh God, they talk about that with that July the 6th stuff. Sedition is...
Are you looking it up? You used it and you didn't know what it meant.
Well, I thought it was kind of, here we are. I was going to find the exact term. Conduct or speech inciting people to rebel against the authority of a state or monarch.
Oh, fuck. So he came back home and he's like, hey, everyone, you know how home kind of like sucks fucking ass? How about you leave with me? And the people in charge are like, fuck you for telling them that their home fucking sucks ass. We're going to throw you in jail to show everyone how awesome it is to live here.
But so, and inciting people to emigrate. It's like,
right, yeah. Exactly.
Stop promising people a dream. Stop having dreams, Reese. It's not about me. So anyway,
this is what your wife wakes up to every morning at 3 a.m.
Just screaming, sat up in bed.
It's not about me, Reese. It's not about me.
So he spent 4 months in jail, and while he was in jail, a group of families. Who the ones who believed him, the ones who weren't skeptics, the ones who believed in Ivan's dream, they settled in northeast of Edmonton. They headed over. So there was, he'd already started, he did start something. And what happened was then that flow of people grew and grew and grew through word of mouth. And then as Canada was expanding to the west and building railroads and committing many genocides and starving the indigenous people in the name of claiming the west coast to stop America getting it, they then essentially wanted to find
a little backwards, but yeah
they were trying to find and this was the Canadian government's plan, was to find as many Europeans to settle those lands as possible. So they had like this huge immigration program aimed at settling people in the Western prairies. And the immigration minister at the time, Sir Clifford Sifton. Sir Clifford Sifton, who was Minister of the Interior.
Again, like a fucking cool name.
But also, because the winters are harsh and everything.
I just wanted to comment on what you mentioned about the government wanting to get as many immigrants in as possible.
Yeah.
I don't know how much truth there is to this, but I had a friend say that one of the reasons that Canada has such an open arms policy to immigration is like nobody's going to fucking wage war against Canada. That's where everybody's relatives are living. Like everybody's relatives.
And also is like you can't. If you're going to have a country that was built on really diverse immigration from all around the world, mm-hmm. who's going to be the person to stand up and go, no more? Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Because, this is what they offered people in Eastern Europe at the time was 160 acres or 64 hectares of free land.
Is that a lot? I don't know.
160 acres. Well, yes,
no idea how big
that is.
It is a lot.
Yeah. No, that's a huge amount of land, especially
I've never had to. Oh, here it is. How big is 160 acres? Literally in Google. All right.
How many football fields, maybe?
121. Holy shit.
Football
with
field.
End zones. Yeah.
There 121 with end zones. Exactly.
That's what it says right there.
This was the letter the minister published. 160 acres with end zones.
Or 1,482.89362 NBA basketball courts.
There we go.
It's very perfect. Specific.
That's a lot, they were playing a lot of basketball back then. Yeah. And this was for a nominal registration fee of $10. And so,
that's probably was a lot of fucking money back then. $10,
yeah. 150 for like boat and train passage.
I just want to see how much $10 was in 1891 today. It was like $300. That's not bad.
Yeah. Right. So
for $300, we could get 161 football fields with end zones.
Bearing in mind, their parents, the generation before, lived almost like slaves. And then they were told, hey, you can just have your own land now. So what happened was whole villages moved to Canada from the Ukraine.
Wow. Okay.
And the government was making it as easy as possible for them because
was it just Manitoba offering this or all of Canada?
No, the whole of Canada. So Sir Clifford Sifton, the Minister of the Interior, he said this is how he described Ukrainian.
He was the Minister of where again?
The Minister of the Interior
of
Canada.
Okay, I don't know what that means.
Of his trousers. And he had a very outdated, stereotypical, racist view of Eastern Europeans.
Hold on. Just tell me his full title again, please.
Sir Clifford Sifton, the Minister for the Interior.
Of?
His trousers.
There we go.
Johnny, how we described Eastern European people?
Sure.
I think that a stalwart peasant in a sheepskin coat born to the soil, whose forefathers have been farmers for 10 generations with a stout wife and half a dozen children, is good quality.
Back in the day when racism was pretty rampant, I gotta give it to him. Like, it sounds like he's trying. And that's not really racist either. It's just insulting. It's not racist.
Yeah. Right? Jingoistic, maybe.
What?
Maybe like jingoistic or stereotypical of how people would have viewed him. Yeah.
I just, the stout wife thing. I think back then that was a huge compliment. Like, oh, your wife is very stout. Why, thank you, sir. And you have wonderful ankles. I don't know what the fuck they complimented each other back
like
then.
Your calves
are very shiny today. Oh, thank you. And your wife is very stout.
I just imagine if they had.
And they just grab each other's ass and.
Did they have porn mags called Stout? Stout.
Nearly spit coffee all over my computer. Thank you for that.
But anyway,
and the Stout good, Weekly. Yeah,
exactly. And the good news is that Ivan eventually made it out in 1893.
Oh yeah,
and he settled in the district of Alberta, east of Fort Saskatchewan. He farmed and he died a wealthy man in 1936 at the age of 77.
Fucking A. Right on, Ivan.
And by 1914, approximately 200,000 Ukrainians would settle Canada.
Holy shit. And this is thanks to him.
Yeah. And then things took, I'm going to end the episode to this point. We can cover the what happened afterwards. But when World War I broke out, the friendliness of the Canadian government changed. That's a story for another time.
That's not surprising. Yeah.
Or you can go and research yourself. I don't know. Yeah. Whatever. So there you go. So
that's how we end our podcast forever. It's just, forever. Okay, research done. Go look it up yourself.
I did my bit. Now you do the rest.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Fucking lazy pieces.
Did you like that story?
I did like that story. It had a happy, I like any story that has a happy ending, Reese. I'm a sucker for a happy ending. I really am.
Yeah.
So just to know that he got out of jail and he convinced 200,000, well, like he started a movement that had 200,000 Ukrainians move to Canada, and he died a wealthy man in his late 70s.
Yeah.
Like on his own farmland. Fucking A. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's pretty sweet, isn't it?
Yeah. That's pretty cool. I like that.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah. So this has been fun, and everyone stay safe and just be nice.
Is that your call to action? Stay safe and be nice? I mean, that's polite. It's not really... Sure. Okay. Yeah. Fuck it.
Well, isn't that like, okay? You can be lots of things in this world. Just start by being nice.
That's nice. Here's my call to action. Okay.
That'd be a good fridge magnet.
I like that.
maybe I read it on a fridge magnet and then just absorbed it as my own.
So two call to actions. One, go to speakpipe.com/CanadianPoliticsIsBoring, or just hit the little tab down, the little link in the show notes, to tell Reese how to properly pronounce all of the Ukrainian names that he mispronounced today. Secondly, is when Reese and I are going to be doing more live shows in the future on the interwebs. We're going to be doing it from Twitch. Twitch.tv is a platform where there's a lot of live shows happening. It's just really good for live entertainment. And I've been dutifully setting up our channel. So if you want to go over to twitch.tv/CanadianPoliticsIsBoring and just hit the little subscribe button or follow button, then you'll be alerted as to that's where we'll go. If we'll be like, hey, we're going live, then you'll be like, I know where that is because I did the doobly doobly thing. That's it. So if Reese remembers, he can also put that in the show notes. So thanks.
Yeah, thank cool.
There you go. Cool beans. Well,
bye, everyone.
That's it. You're not going to say anything clever?
No.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th, at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.